Here we're talking about this month, we're talking about provision for change. And this whole year has been change, right?
Amen.
Anybody done any changing? Right?
Lord.
Come on. I have, but we're not finished, right? I mean,
yeah.
And so provision for change. And when I talk about provision, money's part of provision, but that's not all of it, right? Our provision is in the source, right? And 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it says, and God is able to make all grace. I love that. One word in there is just so cool. All.
Yes.
God doesn't have just this little pinch of grace that he, you know, gives out every once in a while to make it stretch. He's got a lot of grace. And in his grace is the gifts that he gives us that we don't deserve. It's the provision that he gives us that we don't deserve. It's when he picks us up when we've fallen down for the 12th time and we know we're not doing what we're supposed to do, but his grace comes to us. And he's able to make all grace, and look at it, all grace, abound. Abound. Just get this picture in your head. I won't demonstrate it, but get this picture in your head. How many remember Tigger? Right, Tigger, right? What did Tigger, he abounded everywhere. In fact, it was almost, you know, to some of them, especially Eeyore, it was, you know, absolutely frustrating to him. But he was abounding with joy. Think about that. God abounding. Woo! Here you go. Here you go. Here you go. Here you go. Right. He's able to make all grace abound towards you, that you having all sufficiency in all things that you can give to every good work. Right? Come on. There's principles and there's laws, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. But we have to just get in our hearts that it's God's will to make grace abound toward me. And if I'm not receiving all the grace that I need so that I can bless you, I need to go back to the grace giver and say, open my heart, open my mind, open my capacity. We talked last week about being stewards of everything that God gives to us. And we talked about how that we really, once you become born again, you don't own anything. You have to even be careful of saying my, right? I understand it. I'm going to go to a house that the Lord helped us to build, and we call it my house, right? Our house, but it doesn't belong to me. I'm just a steward, right? Another one is my kids, right? I'm so proud of my kids, and I might have mentioned this last week. Is if success as a parent is raising kids better than yourself, we were successful, right? Because my kids are awesome, but they're not my kids. They're his kids. And so we have to come back to the place that God owns everything. But watch that. God owns everything, but God also wants us to be a part of the management of everything he owns. Is that cool? And he has expectations on us if we really see him as who he is and who he is to us. He has some expectations on us going forward. And so we're going to start, I think we turned here last week, but go to Genesis chapter 1. And we'll look there. And while you're turning there, and see, it's such a different age because, you know, 20 years ago, everybody would have their Bibles and you'd hear this. Today, it's looking up on the screen or your phone. And it's just all good, but it's just different. But I just want to make a comment before we go there about the men's retreat. Again, coming back to that, I told Donnie I'd say my piece, right? It was so awesome, but here's the deal. It's called Man Camp, and they pointed that out. This is not boys' camp. This is not girls' camp. This is Man Camp. And see, we were able to take 9 guys. It was awesome. And Gordon couldn't go, and I know Billy would have went and others, but 9 guys. It was awesome. We were well represented. But we're going to take at least 18 next year. I said, because if you didn't go, right, if you know somebody who didn't go, it's up to us to begin to pull them in. Why? Because they spoke to us as men. Years ago, we did a retreat, and a friend of mine, Pastor Rod Sunholm, came up, and he did the teaching. And one of the things that he said is, you got to put your big boy pants on, right? This isn't a soft message. This is a big, see, sometimes men need to be talked to by a man, right? And we were taught that. We were brought that this weekend, and it's so good. So men to men, it was just really good. We're going to go next week. And just the worship, men worshiping together. So awesome. And there were, I think, 5 or 6 different churches represented. And so you had different expressions of worship. What Zach was referring to was a tribal stance and chant. And the way he was describing it was, I'm standing, we get in our stance, and we're like this. But what we're saying to the enemy is, we're here. And we're strong, and we're coming.
Amen.
Come on.
Yeah.
You know, and so we had the tribal representative. We had, a lot of different people from different races, different churches, different, but we're all together as men praising God and worshiping God. And not passively either, was it, Zach? It wasn't passive. It was powerful, powerful worship. And we weren't, no offense to the ladies, but we weren't letting the ladies beat us. Right? We didn't necessarily need the ladies' influence to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So awesome. And again, last year I went, and I was so impacted and impressed by it that I said, I'm taking the guys next year. And we did. It was just super, super good. So, and I believe that there was change that happened in us.
Yes.
Right? There was change in me. There was change in Mike. There was change in Zach. You know, change in all of us. And you know, it's just powerful time. Anyway, so Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And then God said, let us make man in our image. That right there, let us make man in our image. That's an incredible statement. We're not God, but we're like God. His original design was for us to be like him. And part of that is that we are a spirit, we have a soul, we live in a body, but we also are creative beings. He's the creator, but we're creative. What does that mean? There's power in us to create things. You know, just in the micro, it's like there's power in us as believers to come in and create an atmosphere where God is welcomed and he's desired and his presence can show up. We can create that. Why? Because we're like him. But until we get that picture, all of a sudden we're going, it's all up to God.
Right.
Come on. It's all up to God. Whatever God wants, you know, whatever happens to me, it's all God. Anything that happens in the world, it's just all God. It's all God. It's all God. Well, if it is, he's doing a really bad job. Right? But it's not all up to God. Now, God is over everything from the standpoint that he has a plan and he has a purpose. But if I went out, I'm not going to, by the way, but if I went out and got drunk and got thrown in jail for a DUI, I can't go, well, that was just God's will for it to happen to me. Right? No. He put me in the place just like him, that I have a certain about a responsibility over the world that I possess. Come on, let's make man in our image. Why is this so necessary? We're talking about the process of change through provision. Our provision is not only up to God. God will give us provision, but what are we going to do with the provision that He gives us? And again, I'm not talking about just finances. You know, many marriages have failed because we did nothing with the provision of the gift that was given to us. We didn't honor the gift. We didn't celebrate the gift. We didn't allow the gift to come forward because, watch this, God, very rarely God will put together two exact same people. Yes, absolutely. Thanks. Thank goodness. Why? Because Adam needed a helpmeet. In other words, there were some things lacking that Adam needed. And so when two come together, right, it's both of us being in the image of God, creating something that's different than separate. But here's the rub. If my flesh likes things done a certain way, and I don't think that anybody else's ideas are worth a darn, your gift is going to irritate me. I'll just give you the. I'm going down this road. I don't even know. This wasn't in my plan. But watch this. We're created together to be together, to provide for one another the things that are lacking in one another. God is able to make all grace abound toward me, that me in every good work, in every relationship, that I have so much in me that I can give it to somebody else. Right? So it's like, if I'm a visionary, you know, everything's a vision. I mean, I get this, we can do that, we can do this, we can do that. And my wife is, and this is probably the opposite for us, but if my wife is more of a manager person, like, we got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this, and you got to do that. If we don't learn to absolutely begin to appreciate the gifting that God has put in the other one, that's going to butt heads. Right? But when you begin to figure it out, God has made Renita in His image. Right? So watch this. I would tell you this, that my creativity, my artistic ability, not so much. Not so much. And I used to say this, and I still understand it, that I'm not that creative. But I have creativity. She's my wife. She's part of my flesh. She's one with me. And that woman is very creative. We could have a testimony of all the things she's created and done in church. That, anyway, if you weren't here, there was one Sunday she came in and she said, get the kids out with different things. She came in and M&M's caught. One week she came in with as a Q-tip. One day we had a guest speaker and she came in and she had a super soaker and talking about, you know, the water of the word and she just sprayed it up in the air and she turned and she hit him square in the face. And Greg was this button down suit on and I just went, oh my God. But she is my creative force, right? See, God gives us gifts in one another. He gives us possession. He possesses us so that we can bless others. Isn't that good? He's made us in His image, in our likeness, Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over all the cattle and over all of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Here's God, and he gives man, Adam and Eve, the world. But he doesn't say, okay, I'm giving you the world. You just take your time, go lay over there. I'll do everything. Sometimes we look at God like this with our provision. Well, if God wanted to get it to me, he would. But God said, no, 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 no. I've given you some resources. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Yeah. Verse 27 says, so God created man in his own image. That is so cool. That's so powerful. And it's beyond our even comprehension or thinking. Right? And going anyways. So let's just skip down to verse 28. And then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. That particular command has not gone away. As born-again believers, our job is to do that. I gave you, you go and multiply it. You go subdue it. You go after it, right? And so our provision even, it's like, okay, God, put inside of me the desires and what you want me to do. Because I'm going to go after it with all that I can. And then I'm going to act in my capacity as a being who has created the image of God. And God doesn't want me to just add a little bit to it, to just barely get by. God wants me to be a multiplier. Multiplier. This isn't in the notes, Charles, but could you pull up Deuteronomy, I believe it's 8:18. Deuteronomy 8:18. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Is it coming? Yes. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Come on, this day. We're not under the same covenant that the Hebrew people were. We're under the new covenant. But did you know that the new covenant, he said, is better than the old covenant? Because it's built on better and more sure promises. The blood of Jesus makes his promise more sure than the blood of bulls and goats and calves, amen. Right? Come on. Because it's forever settled. It's a done deal. But watch this. He gives you the power to get wealth. He doesn't get you wealth. Some people say, Lord, I heard a testimony like Chiquita's. She gave, and Lord, I'm just believing God. Lord, I'm thanking you that you're going to give me $1 million. I just thank you, Lord. I'm sitting on my couch. I'm waiting for it. I'm calling everybody to say, you know, by next week, I'm going to have $1 million. Bless God, bless God, bless God. And week goes by, nothing comes. And you say, well, God let me down. No, God didn't let you down. If God really put in your heart the need to have $1 million so that you could do what he wanted you to do, he would give you the plan to get that $1 million. The word power here to get wealth, the idea of it is he will give you creative ideas to implement.
Thank you, Daddy.
Are you with me? We talk about, like, for instance, the youth group that we sent down to Oregon this year, right? We sent them down, right? And so we said, we're believing God that everybody who wants to go can go. And so we sent them down. We paid for it. They their folks, nobody had to pay anything, right? So we had the wealth to do that. But the process was that God said, okay, you know, and gave Donnie an idea. Let's sell lemonade out here. Let's do this over here. See, those creative ideas that came were the vehicle that God used to bring the wealth to cause the vision to come to pass. Are you with me? So it's God. Yes, it's God, but it's God's power. Listen. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you. He gives you supernatural ability to get wealth. And again, some people have a real hard time with the term prosperity message. I have no problem with that if you define the term. Because it's not a get-rich thing. It's a provision thing. Absolutely. It's like God wants us to prosper. We're going to see a few scriptures. He wants us to prosper so that we can give and do what He wants us to do. Amen. Many times people have said, you know, I really feel on my heart that I'm supposed to go, I'm arbitrary, I'm supposed to go to Poland and preach. I wish I could go. You know, if God sent me the money, I'd go. And then God says, here's a part-time job over here. That's not God. That's not God. That's definitely not God. I mean, that, come on. Right? And so we say, well, God, if you don't bring it and put it in my supernaturally in my bank account. No. God works with the system that's here. Right? He works with the system that's here. He can work in it. He can multiply it. He can do it. But He's going to give you, every one of us, creative ideas. Not just where money is concerned, but where relationships are concerned. Right? God, you know, my son, my daughter, my husband, my wife, they're not acting the way that they should. He'll give us the power, the creative ideas on what we need to do in that situation to create an opportunity for them to change. Isn't that awesome? You see, provision is about believing who you are, but also believing who God is and understanding that I have responsibility in the equation. It's not just going to fall on me like ripe cherries off of a tree. It's like, okay, God, here I am. What's my first step? What's my first step? See, you have to get, and I have to get, and I'm working on this, I have to get a bigger mindset and a capacity to see God's provision for me. Why? Because I believe I've left a lot of His provision on the table because I didn't see myself in the equation as He sees me. Come on. God will give you a vision to do something. You say, how do I do that? From a natural standpoint, watch this. This is so cool. God wants us to have the mindset that what we give, we multiply.
Yes.
But the enemy wants you to have the mindset that you're limited by your what you have now. And in the world, I heard this, and it wasn't from a Bible teaching, but it was this. It was said how different peoples look at money. It said a poor person mentality looks at money to pay bills. I need money, I need to pay the rent. And I understand that, man. I mean, you know, I really understand that. So a poor person looks at money to pay bills to get things. Somebody who's kind of like in the middle class area, they view their money, I need to get money and then I need to save money. I need to have the 401k. I need to, and again, all good things. I need to do this and I need to do that. But it's how can I save money? But a wealthy person looks at their money this way. How can my money make money? How can my money make money? In other words, Lord, show me what to invest in that can bring me a return. Right? And again, all of us are different levels and different places, but I know for myself, I grew up with a mentality that we were of this class of people. Those with who had money were this class of people. And you know, we're always going to be this and they're always going to be that. But that's a lie. And not only is it a lie, again, it's not so that I can live in a mansion and drive, you know, although I do live in a nice house and I drive a nice car. But the reality is that's not the end goal. The end goal is, Lord, how can I increase my capacity to receive from you so that I can be a blessing to other people? Right? Come on. And watch this. In our society, and this is what the devil will try to do, he'll say, okay, you're on a fixed income. So you're going to have to live under the bondage of that fixed income. And so that's our mentality. Well, I got to make the, you know, what was the old expression? My grandma knows how to squeeze a nickel until it, you know, the buffalo cries out. But watch this. It's kind of like, and there's nothing wrong with being thrifty. But hear my point. My point is this, is like, Lord, is there something that you want to give to me that I can multiply? Give me a creative idea. Give me, and he will. He will. He'll start you where you are and lead you to where you want to be. God is not opposed to you having provision, but he wants your cooperation with it. Are you with it? All right, let's look at a couple of things. Go to Psalm 35:27. 35:27. Let them shout for joy and be glad. Let's just do that for a minute. Hallelujah! Woo! Glory to God! Glory to God! Come on, hallelujah! Come on, it's okay to be loud in church. Hallelujah! Shout for joy and be glad. I don't want to be silent and sad. That's just all. I want to shout for joy and be glad. Who favor my righteous cause. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified. Who has pleasure. The Lord has pleasure. The Lord gets happy. The Lord looks at you and gets happy in the prosperity or the well-being of his servant. I'll just tell you this, that, you know, I think both of my kids are better money managers and dealers than I ever have been. And really, I know that at the end of the day, they're going to be better off than I am now. I'm not sad by that. That's like, whoo, glory to God. That's so cool. That's so awesome. Thank you, Lord. I get pleasure when my kids succeed. God gets pleasure when you take what he gives you and then you develop it and go to a different level. He goes, ooh, that's my kid, that's my kid, that's my kid. I'll just give you one of those moments. A couple, actually. You know, John is my son-in-law, and it didn't start out real great, but John is my son-in-law, and I'm so proud of where he's come and what he's been and how God has used him with worship and putting a men's thing together. And, you know, he was a big part of making that happen. And Donnie, she did all the administrative stuff. Just, I'm so proud of that. But I had a moment. It was yesterday morning. And they were giving testimonies, and people came up and gave testimony about what God had done in their lives. and about what happened at the retreat. And in my spirit, I'm just thinking, Liam's going to go up there. And we longer and longer went on. And there's a clip. I do you have that on your phone? No, let's not do it. But a clip of Liam went up there and began to share. And I mean, it was really good. Right, Zach? It was really good.
Yes.
Really profound. And it was like, whoa. Watch this. This whole weekend. So I'm go ahead. And when he was walking back, I turned around to the guys in the back. That's my grandson. You know, that's my grandson. But watch this. The power of being together. It's like Daryl, God gave him a word about the generational thing and spoke it into Liam, like Liam referred to that today. But here's the deal. When you take what God gives you and then begin to multiply it, God gets really happy. He looks down from heaven and says, that's my girl. That's my girl. She didn't have nothing. She had no ability, but she went to Mexico. And she started giving out, and she and Scott, they started giving out to the neighbors, and the neighbors had come over for bandages or for food or for whatever, because they knew that there was a source there. But that source was only there because they cooperated with the source. Are you getting what I'm saying this morning? We are believing God for change, but we need to be in the place where we know that God can use us to provide for somebody else. Come on. And then even if I don't have it in the bank account, God, you'll give me a creative way to do it.
Yeah.
Come on. I'm running a little late, but I'll close in a minute, I promise. Do you have time for one more story? Just one more story. Years ago, I was... When I got saved, it was, whatever you want me to do, God, that's what I want to do. I had a passion, and again, I'm bragging on Liam again, but it was so cool to watch this weekend because every time there was an altar call, Liam was up there for prayer. I remember being that. I remember being, and it's like, okay, Lord, we need to get back to that, right? Every time, Lord, whatever you got for me, I want to do. So I was in a meeting, and in this meeting, they were going on a mission trip to Honduras, and I had no money to go to Honduras, but they said, anybody who feels like God's wanting them to come, come on up and we'll pray for you. And I went up and I had no way of knowing where to, how to get there, whatever. But I got prayer for that. And I said, but, you know, I don't have any money. And I was, you know, I had some obligations that were coming up that just made it almost impossible. But the man who prayed for me said, don't worry about that. Just believe God that he'll provide for you for the funds. And so, okay, Lord, I just thank you. You're going to provide for me for the funds. Now, I could have done this. I could have said, Lord, all right. When I see that check, I'll go. Right? When you have that person come by my house, knock on the door, bring me a bag of gold, I'll go. That was like in January. In February, I was working at a shop that working 40 hours a week. We never had any overtime. But just, we were working, and Boeing had we were a subcontractor for Boeing, had an order that we needed to get out. We worked 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. And God gave me the provision to go with the vision.
Yeah.
But I was part of getting the provision.
Yeah.
So what I'm telling you this morning is God's got some great things for you. But you need to begin to cooperate with that. Listen, we're talking about money because that's one area. In fact, Jesus talked more about money than hell. But watch this. It's because it's so tied to our heart. God has people in your life that he wants you to reach.
Yes.
God will put people across your path that He will give you what you need to reach them.
Amen.
It can be words, it can be actions, it can be anything. But unless you get get your heart back with the place that God, I am yours as to command. And Lord, I am made in your image. And Lord, you speak to my heart. And God, you can use me to do anything. So Lord, if that person needs something, you can use me to speak into their lives. Right? Watch this. It's like, how? And we all know people like this. I don't think they could ever get saved. They're so hard-headed, so... But wait a minute. God put in my heart what to say to them. Do you know that there have been people who've been really high up in the witchcraft, Satan things, that you think they've already given their heart to the devil, they're done. But God brought somebody who had the vision to say, God, you can use me to speak to them. You can use me to do things to bless them that will bring them to the kingdom, and they've gotten saved and are walking with Jesus. That's what I'm talking about. That's the absolute provision that I'm talking about. Money's part of it, because we all need money, and we need to pay bills, we need to eat, all of that. But the reality is that's way down on the scale. What's way up on the scale is that there's all kinds of people right out here. You go over to Fred Meyer, there's all kinds of people who know Jesus, but there's all kinds of people who don't. And those who haven't made Jesus of the Lord of their life are going to spend eternity outside of God's presence in a place called hell. Are we just going to let that happen? Or are we going to start, Lord, send me words of wisdom. Send me words of knowledge. Tell me when to give somebody money. Tell me when to do something for somebody. Tell me, because He's already given you the power to be a witness. Already has given it to you. It's up to us to multiply that in us and through us. Y'all get something this morning?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Come on. What are we going to do about it? Yeah, what are we going to do about it? Are we going to think about that? Are we going to allow God to speak to our heart like He's speaking to your heart right now? Are we going to put that into our lives tomorrow and the next day and the next day? Come on. That's what I want. That's what I desire. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, God, for speaking to us. We thank you for everybody sharing and the whole thing coming together. But Lord, I can't do anything about yesterday. About my failures, about what I didn't do. Lord, I can't do anything about that. But this morning, Lord, we just want to create an atmosphere where we're coming back to you and saying, we're willing. Whatever you have for us, whatever you want for us, whatever, however you want to use us, God, we're willing to do whatever you want. God, we ask you to just fill us with the wisdom of you and the knowledge of you and understanding of you. Lord, you've already blessed us to be a blessing. Help us to walk in it. Lord, all those that are watching online, thank you for watching. God bless you. I believe God's speaking to you. I speak health over you. If you don't know Jesus, ask Him into your heart. He'll touch you. He'll change your eternity. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Thank you for joining us. Look at that.